There's a worldview war going on right now. One radio program gives you full frontline coverage. It's Generations, and here's your host, Kevin Swanson.
And welcome to Generations, my friends. Kevin Swanson here with you, Executive Director for Christian Home Educators, also a pastor, but the reason I'm here, I'm a father of five. And sometimes we've got to deal with sibling rivalry in our home, and a lot of folks have to deal with this, but you can avoid it. One way you can avoid it is to get those kids away from each other. That's right, put them in separate slots and keep them separated by desks and in different extracurricular activities all day long, you'll be fine. But if you toss them into the same home or the same car for more than 30 minutes at a time, you're going to have to deal with the lack of love, joy, peace, and long-suffering, and that's going to be a real pain. But let me encourage you to put them in that environment. I know it's be much easier to obliterate the environment where you have to exercise peacekeeping and long-suffering. It'd be nice to just get rid of that environment. Avoid all opportunity with contact with long-suffering. But what if you value things like love, joy, peace, and long-suffering? Wouldn't it be cool to kind of keep everybody together in relationship over 18, 20 years out of your lives? And learn how to exercise love, joy, peace, and long-suffering in a nuclear family. Wouldn't that be cool? Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you've decided to do family, and if you, from time to time, keep your family together in the same home, in the same car, then you're going to have to deal with things like fighting and bickering, teasing, nitpicking. And if you've got all that stuff happening, I tell you what, the home's going to be the most miserable place on earth. You'd rather leave it than to deal with all that bickering. Now, we're not going to allow this in our home or in our car. Here's what happens. First seeds of it. When we start to see here a little bit of the nitpicking and a little bit of teasing and pride and anger and bitterness that might just manifest itself a tiny bit in the car. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to stop the car. We're all going to get out, at least those of us involved in the problem. We're going to do heart surgery right there. We talk about the anger, the pride, the selfishness going on in the hearts of those children. And we're going to exhort them in God's word, and then we're going to get down on our knees and confess our wretched sins before God and ask for forgiveness from others. And we may have to use the rod, and we're going to deal with it right there in the middle of the road. Then we get back into the car and we're singing God's praises for the next 60 minutes, 50 miles of roadway. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about sibling rivalry today on this program. Sarah Stephen and Grace Malley have written a neat little book called Making Brothers and Sisters Best Friends. And they're some of the neatest folks I've met in all my travels across the U.S. of A. And just met them in Iowa last weekend. We're going to talk to Sarah Stephen and Grace Malley right here on Generations. Stay with me. Folks, welcome back to Generations. Kevin Swanson here with you today. It's talking about sibling rivalry, the fighting, the bickering, the teasing, nitpicking, the bitterness, the anger that sometimes emerges from our children when we're in relationship. We happen to be in the same home and same car together. And today with me are Sarah Steven and Grace Malley, who've written the book Making Brothers and Sisters Best Friends. They co-authored the book 5 years ago, sold 40,000 copies. They live in Iowa. Welcome, my friends, to Generations.
Thank you. Great to be here.
It's good to have you folks. Now, you wrote the book 5 years ago, a significant book. I think a lot of folks out there are struggling with the issue of sibling rivalry and how brothers and sisters can be best friends and not only tolerate each other, but enjoy each other. Why did you folks write the book 5 years ago?
Well, we definitely saw the need that was out there, and so many brothers and sisters are just fighting and arguing and really missing out on the great relationship that God wants us to have. And one day Sarah came to us and she said, "You guys, I have a great idea." And she said, "I think we should write a book called Making Brothers and Sisters Best Friends."
And we said, "Oh, no."
But we agreed that it was a really important issue and a really important topic.
So. I knew that the Lord had taught us and taught me so much about this area, and I just wanted to pass on and felt like we as a family should be passing on to others what God had been doing in our lives.
Now, I had the opportunity to kind of watch you folks a little bit when we were out in Iowa over the last weekend, and there's no doubt about it. Y'all are our best friends. How did that happen? Have you been best friends for very long now?
Well, we definitely had all the normal struggles that siblings have, you know, as we were growing up. And, I mean, we were friends, you know, when we were younger, but we faced the anger and we faced the irritations and all those things. And about the time when I was 11, I think, is when God really started to change my heart and help me to see the importance of this, these relationships at home. And we started homeschooling at that time, too. And that made a big difference in our family. And we just feel like as we get older, God just keeps teaching us new things. And there's so many blessings that come from being in a family and working together with a family. And it's just God's the one who's designed families. And it's so encouraging and exciting when you just reap those benefits that come from working with a family.
What were the sort of things that God was working on in you as you began to, you know, be convicted by your sins and see the need to really connect with your brothers and sisters and love them in Christ?
For me, I think a lot of it was just I tended to be focused on myself. I was, when I was up through 11 in a Christian school there, influenced by my peers, and not realizing my responsibility. I think I often just didn't see the difference that I really could make in my brother and sister's life, that they looked up to me, that they were following me, and maybe the little things that I did that I just thought I was teasing them, not realizing how it might really be hurting them, or the wrong attitudes I was allowing maybe in my relationship with my parents, and not realizing how they were following that and how it was setting a negative example for them. So I think often it just wasn't even seeing my responsibility and on the other hand, what a good example I could be and like how I could really make a difference in their lives if I was willing to put God first and seek Him and be a servant in my family.
Why is it important for siblings to get along together in the home? Why is that such a value and something that we ought to strive for?
I think one of the reasons is because the home is God's training program for our family. It's God's training program for our lives. It's going to prepare us for the rest of our lives. And all the struggles we face at home are the tests that God wants us to learn from. And if we don't learn those things, if we don't get along with our brothers and sisters, then later on in life, God's going to have to teach us those same lessons. And most of the time, they're not going to be as easy situations. There's going to be bigger consequences for failing.
Is the situation in the Malley home a situation where there is perfect peace all the time? There's never, ever any conflict of interest whatsoever, and it's nothing but pure, absolute, unmitigated peace? or are there difficulties that you have to work through together?
We definitely face all the same difficulties, I think, that every family faces. And for us right now, we're all working together in a family ministry, which is exciting, but you also, just in all the little day-to-day decisions that have to be made and struggles, I've learned to be gracious and work through those things.
As we've gotten older, it's you know, our relationships have changed and we've grown closer, but it's also changed from maybe, you know, what, fighting over toys or something like little kids to more maybe irritations and things that we've learned to, you know, we have to examine ourselves and we have to accept irritations as from the Lord and that He uses irritations to change us and to conform us to the character of Christ, and then just to have good communication and be willing to say you're wrong and ask forgiveness. A lot of those things we've had to learn.
What has been the biggest struggle in your family relationships, would you say?
Often it's a little thing, you know, just a little tiny conflict, but if you don't communicate, if you don't talk it through, it's just going to lead to a bigger problem later. And so taking the time to talk through whatever issues we face, you know, on a daily basis and be willing to be humble about it, be willing to ask forgiveness, be willing to work it through.
Why is it that your siblings sometimes get under your skin and irritate you? What do you think it is that forms that burr under the saddle?
Well, one thing I think is that you have higher expectations of your siblings because, hey, they're in your own family and you expect them to treat you a certain way. And just the fact that you're together all the time. You know, you don't get a break like with your friends. You just see them once a week. You're together all the time. And so you have to deal with things. You can't just push them under a rug.
All right, so I've got all these strengths in these particular areas, and I happen to notice that my younger brother does not have that strength, and he's tripping all over the place, and he's kind of making a fool out of himself, and then I'm getting irritated with him. Why am I getting irritated with him?
It's often because we don't see that, you know, we expect everyone to be just like us. So we expect him to have maybe the same strengths that we have, or, you know, all other reasons. Maybe it's not fitting in with my plan, with my agenda, not happening in the right way because he's not doing such and such. And it's really because we're not looking at him from God's perspective and looking at how we can encourage him to be following, you know, being in the image of Jesus Christ. We're looking at it from a selfish perspective and how he's meeting or not meeting my needs.
We don't often see their needs. All we look at is how they're inconveniencing us, how they're causing problems for us, and not that maybe God has shown me these are some of the needs and I can help pray for them in those areas and help them in those areas.
I think you're exactly right. It's a matter of perspective. If we look at our brother or our sister as being created in the image of God, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ at the cross, then we're going to start seeing him as precious, as somebody who's very important, not just to ourselves, but to God as well.
Right, and realizing how God is using that in our lives. Like, I remember one time being irritated with my sister Grace. I felt like she was always asking me to do things for her, and I thought, hey, I'm her older sister. Why is she asking me to do these things for her? And this one day she'd asked me to do a few things, and then she asked me to go downstairs and get something for her. And so I was trying to be nice outwardly and do it, and inwardly I was kind of irritated. And then I prayed, and I asked the Lord, okay, so how should I respond to this? And immediately the Lord reminded me that just a few days earlier I had prayed and asked the Lord to help me learn to be a servant. And I thought, oh, maybe God is having Grace ask me to do things for her because he's trying to teach me to learn to be a servant. And so rather than just trying to get rid of this irritation, I need to try to change my attitude and look for ways to delight in serving Grace.
Now, you folks actually work together in a ministry, so you are around each other quite often. What sorts of things do you do together?
We speak and travel as a family quite a bit, to churches, conferences, state homeschool conferences. And then when we're at home, we're always working on writing materials, producing materials, sending out orders, working on different other writing projects.
Our goal is to equip families to be strong in the Lord and identifying what are some of the major struggles in families today and major needs, and how can we be encouraging and equipping families in those areas. And a big part of what I do is working with young ladies in a young ladies ministry and encouraging young ladies to be strong in the Lord. And we have conferences for moms and daughters and various aspects of the Bright Life ministry for girls, too.
And we're really grateful that God has put us together, that we can work all together, because, I mean, we have had irritations, but Sarah and Stephen are my favorite people to be with, and it's so much fun to be spending your time with your brothers and sisters. whereas so many people don't have that blessing.
Have you ever gone for, I don't know, 2-3 days, maybe a week without seeing each other? How do you feel towards each other during those times away?
We miss each other.
Grace was gone for several weeks in the fall taking a music class, and yeah, there was a big difference in our home without Grace there, and you do realize what you take for granted as soon as you're apart from someone.
Yeah. If you had one piece of advice for brothers and sisters that are working through their relationships, what would that be?
The thing that comes to my mind is humility. We have a whole chapter in our book just on humility because we think it's the number one key in conflict and in relationships. And, you know, this is hard. I mean, all of us agree that relationships are hard, and it's hard to maintain being best friends with brothers and sisters, and we need help. And God offers special help to those who are humble, because several times in Scripture it says He gives grace to the humble. And when we're willing just on a daily basis to look for ways to humble ourselves, to give in to others, let somebody else win the argument, be willing to ask forgiveness when we've been wrong, just be willing to listen to them when they're talking, or to be excited about their projects, or just so many ways that we can humble ourselves, there's so many benefits that come from that, and plus God's special grace that comes as a result of that.
And humility is difficult to achieve, isn't it? I think somebody once said, I wrote the book on humility but never got it published. What are the manifestations of pride? How do you know when you're starting to see just a little bit of pride creeping up into your own thoughts and words?
Well, that's a good question, because pride is, I think, so deceitful that often we don't see it. I mean, one way is just not being willing to lose, wanting to be the one to get it your way or be the one to win the argument.
Proverbs tells us that only by pride cometh contention, so I think almost always when there is some disagreement in between brothers and sisters, or for that matter between anybody, you can often trace it back to pride.
And often the reason we're irritated also is just because of pride, because someone is doing something to hurt our pride or telling us to do something when we already knew that we should be doing it, or things like that.
And just in little ways that we think we're the ones who are right, or thinking better of ourselves than our brothers and, you know, than of our brothers and sisters, and just really looking at ourselves and not looking at the good in others.
How have your parents helped you in this? Do they bring the Word of God into your life? I mean, how do you maintain a spiritual sensitivity to issues like pride, anger, bitterness in your lives?
Absolutely. I'm sure we can only say we're best friends today because of our parents and because of their training in all these different areas. I remember when I was 11, my mom took me out for breakfast one day just to talk with me about being a firstborn in our family. And she gave me a whole list of practical ways that I could be an encouragement to Stephen and Grace. And I remember how her taking the time to just have that one-on-one time with me really gave me a whole new understanding and perspective of my role in our family. There's many ways that we could see that our parents have definitely helped us.
And also then there's the example that my parents have set for us when my parents have come to us and asked us to forgive them for things or demonstrated humility. And then one other way is I really appreciate the way that my parents have made us feel like we were a family team working together for the kingdom of God.
Sarah, Stephen, and Grace, I think there are some people out there thinking, yeah, but these aren't your peers. You're siblings, but you're not peers. And in fact, we haven't shared your ages yet, 28, 22, and 18. And you've been at this thing for 5 years now, since you first wrote the book, Making Brothers and Sisters Best Friends. But again, you're 6 and 4 years apart from each other, 6, 4, and 10 years apart from each other. There are some folks out there that are saying there is no way that siblings can be friends. They're not peers. What do you say to that?
Well, one thing is that God's principles apply in every situation. And I understand there's some families out there with 10 children and they're all close in age, and there are going to be different struggles that they're going to face that we haven't. And yet, got the same basic root problems of greed and bitterness and, you know, arguing, all those same things we all face in different ways, but God's principles apply in, you know, to every single situation.
And you still get along despite the fact you have such tremendous age differences.
been neat to see as we've gotten older how those age gaps have come, you know, closer and closer together and how now we work together, whereas before maybe it seemed like I was a lot older. But God gives you exactly what you need in your family, and we've seen that in our family. It's just been perfect, and this is the way He's put our family together.
Do you have any practical tips or ideas for brothers and sisters that are listening right now to the program and saying, "Boy, I'd like to be better friends with my brothers and sisters"? What would you tell them?
One thing that Sarah started with us was a little club called ATTACH. And ATTACH stands, it's an acronym, and it stands for Advancing Together Towards Accountability, Christlikeness, and Harmony. And I think I was about 8 or 9, and I got this little letter on my desk inviting me to join this club called ATTACH. And I was invited to a picnic at a park. And it was just the two of us, but I have really appreciated so much just how Sarah would ask me questions, and she was interested in me and in my life, and she asked me how she could pray for me, and we would do a little Bible study together, and we would do some projects and hold each other accountable for things. And we have a lot of other friends and people who have been reading our book who have started attached groups with their little brothers and sisters, just because it's a great way to come away from everything else going on in life and just talk, which is obviously really important if you want to become best friends.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sarah, Stephen, and Grace Malley, the book Making Brothers and Sisters Best Friends. I highly recommend the resource. We're going to tell you how to get the book in just a moment. But first of all, thank you so much for joining us on Generations, Sarah, Stephen, and Grace.
Oh, you're very
thank
welcome.
You.
Thank you.
Again, folks, I recommend the resource, Making Brothers and Sisters Best Friends. You've got a problem with sibling rivalry in your home, you need to get a hold of this resource right now, Making Brothers and Sisters Best Friends. And you can get the book by going to our website, kevinswanson.com, and click on store, or just call 877-842-CHECK right now, 877-842-CHECK, and pick up the book today at Generations. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Generations. You can interact with the program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com, and you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation. We'll be right back.